Hi, if this is the first time you're listening to the Advisors Assemble podcast, then I think you should listen to a different episode. Episode 194 is a really great introduction to lead generation for financial services. For everyone else, let's crack on. Hello and welcome back to the Advisors Assemble podcast. And it has been almost a lifetime since we've had Mr. Tom Mapplethorpe on. How's it going?
Yeah, good mate. Good. How are you?
I'm really good. Yeah, we did like a whole stint of almost like sort of weekly recordings. And then I was like, your sort of meeting count, I was like struggling to fit you in the diary.
Or that is true. Yeah, I was going to say, couldn't get the time with me, I think, was the... main issue.
But, not that we got sort of, I was getting hate mail saying, oh, get Tom off. Oh, no. Oh, I'm not going to listen to this awful podcast anymore if you keep bringing Tom on.
Yeah. We'll say you benched me.
But you're back.
Yeah.
Because we are in the midst of a series on things to consider before sort of launching a new website. And we wanted to talk from a pay-per-click advertising point of view, all those kind of bits. But we're also yesterday celebrated your 4th year workiversary.
That's
which
right.
Which is crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. We were just saying, weren't we, just off air in terms of, how sort of, like, quick it's gone. If you were going to ask me, then I'd said about 2 years or something. I know we've all lost a lockdown year or whatever it is. But yeah, no, crazy release. And good chance for me to thank you publicly, should I say, for my enormous congratulatory cookie.
Yeah, it's quite large, wasn't it? Some people get enormous. A Rolex, some people get a cookie, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, my phone tells the time, so don't worry about the watch.
It's fine, exactly. Good stuff. And then we just context for everyone else. We worked together at a company before. I was sort of contracting like one day a week. It was like a Wednesday or something. And we'd like every lunchtime we'd walk to KFC and have a KFC. Nice, a healthy lifestyle, but at least we walked.
We did walk. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, it was...
Those were the days.
Probably fitter for it, but yeah, they were the days.
Nostalgia. Right, okay, back on track. So it's probably not going to be a massive episode, but I think there's really sort of key things that you could make some... We don't want anyone to regret. I think that's why we've done this kind of series. Don't want anyone to regret. Because we've had a client before, we've had several clients actually, who have spent an exorbitant, eye-watering amount of money on a website. And then said, right, I've got my website sorted. Can you help us out? And we're like, well, not really, because there's XYZ is an issue. Mm-hmm. I remember one specifically where they spent so much money on it, and it was actually PPC side. We're using landing pages to sort of demonstrate some factually that this isn't going to work. But this is this. Look, your cost per lead on these is way better than on this. But they're like, I don't want to tear the website down. It costs so much money. We kind of want to avoid that situation, don't we?
Yeah, 100%. And also in terms of, I think when people go into getting a website and say, in terms of they can get some designs that they look fantastic, really, really great aesthetically. Unfortunately, and it is a bit of a crime, unfortunately, the most aesthetically pleasing websites are very rarely the ones that convert best to lead, is kind of the thing. So people go in, they get their website based on, what looks the best aesthetically, but from a performance point of view, perhaps isn't going to do the same thing. And that's exactly the scenario that you've just sort of said. People spend an awful lot of money on the design and development of a website. And it's still a good website, looks great and has great features and things like that. It's just not set up to convert traffic to leads at the most effective rate. So yeah, I think we're just going to sort of chat about things you can do to kind of, save yourself that sort of time and money.
And I think it happens like the newer your business is, you're sort of more looking at the look of things. I think the older your business is, the bigger the business gets, the more the website becomes about giving leads. You're less kind of attached to the look in bunny ears. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think when you're, there's a new business for you, you're launching something, your first website, you probably naturally just think more about looking right, because you're really proud of it. This is a big deal for you. So I think it naturally happens. So don't like kick yourself if you're listening to this too late. But I think everyone does it. But hopefully we can tick off another couple of things that you can think about before launching. Mm-hmm. And I think our big thing is like, if we think from just a PPC, pay-per-click advertising perspective, even though we've run like a gazillion campaigns, we are industry specialists. We run ad campaigns for the same sort of clients on the same sort of things. we don't always get it right first time because things perform differently on different brands, on slightly different things. So you need that ability to make changes quickly rather than pausing your ads, speaking to a web developer, waiting a week for a change for them to be able to run the ads again, and then, oh no, maybe that isn't quite right and you've got to change something else. You need to be on the fly almost. You want to be able to make edits, don't you?
Yeah, 100%. It's sort of with PPC, there is a big element of things being reactive because, as I say, you don't necessarily know when you press go exactly how it's going to perform. So it is always a case of, okay, let's get it running for kind of a few days or depending on your budget, see how it starts to run. Then you see the numbers you start to get back that's based more of like a PPC specific thing. But what you find is that, okay, you're going to have to dive in and make changes to your ad account. Most likely, it's very rare that you don't have to do that. The other side of it is thinking about, okay, so the keywords I'm running, the bids I'm placing on the ads and things like that, that's one thing to one side. The other side of it is, you know, which is 50% of the battle, is what do people do when they hit the site? And quite often you need to make adjustments to your pages, your landing pages where people or where Google Ads sends your traffic, whether it's your website homepage, specific landing pages or what. Quite often you need to make sort of adjustments, and it is important because small adjustments can go a really long way. Mm-hmm. Even if it's just a line of text, changing, you know, the text above the form, or even the, you know, we've had it before where you change the form submit button. Like in terms of switch it from submit to get advice, that can make, you know, improve your conversion rate by 0.5%, which is a lot. That's a small example of a small change, but you know, you may need to do something with a totally different page layout to get better performance and things like that. So I think what we were sort of talking about beforehand was almost it's that element of flexibility that you've got, sort of whoever you are, in order to be able to make those changes to your site. Is that to a developer that does it for you, or is it something that you do yourself? That's probably the most important thing, because you do need to make the changes quick. If you sort of, you know, it's going to take you 2 weeks to make a change to a landing page, that could sort of be too long, particularly if your ads maybe aren't performing as well as you'd want them to.
Absolutely. And Tom, there'll be people screaming down their radio or however they listen.
The wireless,
saying, Tom, mate, I use landing page software. I do all my ads outside of my website on something like Unbounce or other landing page software is available. I can't remember their names because we don't use them. However, we like to run all of our ads to the site, right, and allow them to look around, because there's two types of lead, isn't there? There's people that sort of, yes, I want that thing, I'll speak to anyone. There's that type of lead, or there's a type of lead where I want to speak to the right sort of people. I want to make sure I trust these people. I'm a little bit nervous about speaking to people, so I want to check out their About Us page. I want to check out their reviews. I want to read the content. So there's a bit of a balance, isn't it? And some clients like different types of leads as well. So there's a lot to kind of think about there. So it's kind of like, you, again, it's that flexibility, isn't it, of being able to, before you launch this website, you don't know what is the best layout, content, structure, bits and bobs, do you? You've got to sort of mold it. And we're constantly doing it. We'll find something that works, and then it'll be like, well, this we should structurally, we need to try this on some other sites. You need to roll it constantly, rolling out improvements. Otherwise, you're going to get left behind, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right. We did used to run the landing page software thing kind of years ago. When I say years ago, maybe we're getting
car
into like
finance stuff.
Car finance, seven or 8 years ago. But what we sort of found, since then, we sort of found, I think there's been a bit of a change in sort of consumer behavior. I think people are a little bit more kind of smarter to sort of like, you know, what websites do what. I think often if you land on a landing page that maybe doesn't necessarily have too much in the way of navigation, you know, it's kind of like more of like a lead generation site, because everyone's submitted their details by now on a lead generation site, whether it's for a mortgage, whether it's for a will, whether it's for life insurance. And then next thing you know, you've had a load of different, you know, four different companies getting in touch with you. I had it with conveyancing. I tried to find a conveyancer, and then I got sort of five emails from companies sort of saying, oh, here's your, you know, for your conveyancing quote, whatever. And it wasn't really what I wanted. And I think everyone's had that now by now. So I think people are a bit smart to knowing what is what in terms of the online experience that they're having, if it is like a basic sort of landing page. And we've sort of found that in terms of, yeah, people do like to sort of like move around sites more, give them the content that they want is probably, I suppose, what we'd sort of say. And we find that those that come through that sort of format of going to the main website tend to be better quality leads, because they're a bit more considered. They've been through, they've read more pages, they know who you are. And we just find it generally works a bit better. Also, I think we found sort of probably a few years ago now, that on Google, when you run Google Ads, there's a metric called your quality score. And it's like scoring out of 10, in terms of you generally be quite pleased with something around kind of 7, 8. We do get a few tens if the landing page is really specific and things like that. But generally, you'll probably we tend to find you get a higher quality score if you're sending your traffic to your main site where there's like a menu, there's different options, more content, than if you are just sending them to like a basic straight up landing page. So it's not to say that landing pages don't necessarily convert that well. It's just, I suppose, it's in our experience, we find the overall improved quality score, better quality of lead that comes through the other end, just does tend to come through the website.
Absolutely. And then on one point there, we've on one of the previous episodes, I did this with it from an SEO perspective and I had Pete Everett on. And we were talking about one of those things to consider was like your content. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to be, if you're targeting something for SEO, you know, whatever, let's say self-employed mortgages, like logic dictates, you're probably going to want to target that person from an ads point of view if you are running ads as well. So therefore, you're going to need that content anyway. And I'm guessing some people may fear creating alternate pages for this sort of duplicate. People know that, oh, is it duplicate content? Mm. However, you can create other pages within your website. If you use WordPress or something, and do something called de-indexing, you can kind of basically have your main sort of self-employed mortgages page, but you could create another one, self-employed mortgages -2, and then tell Google, ignore this one from an SEO perspective, but then you can still run it for ads, right?
Yeah, definitely. We do that all the time in terms of, so we'll have, say, self-employed is actually a really good example. We've ran quite a fair few ads for self-employed keywords. What we sort of found when we sent them to content pages where there's, really good content on self-employed mortgages, they'll sit and they'll read it. They're on it for kind of 3, 4, 5 minutes, which is quite a long time for someone to be sat on a particular page of a website. So we found that was great. But then sometimes the conversion rate from that person clicking to lead wasn't as good as we wanted it to be. So that's where we sort of looked and sort of tried, okay, what if we run a shorter landing page that they land on, still on the website and still kind of, called self-employed mortgages. We take snippets of the content that we've got there and we make it kind of like a bit of just a smaller page that's laid out, maybe laid out a little bit more like a homepage with sort of more information about them, a bit more credibility stuff, rather than, 1,000 words on self-employed mortgages.
Yeah.
And we found that people would go on there. They'd probably only be on it for 30 to 40 seconds, but the conversion rate was much higher. And that's where you've got this kind of difference between like content pages that are great for SEO and then sort of maybe kind of slightly pages that are laid out slightly differently for PPC. But also, like you sort of said kind of early on, each brand that we go live with is always slightly different. Mm. We have some instances where the content page converts better than the shorter landing page and vice versa. That's what makes it sort of quite sort of difficult in terms of there's never a kind of like a one size fits all. And nothing is completely replicable between brands, because the brands are different, the feeling of who you are as a brand is different, as well as kind of like other factors and things like that. But yeah, it's, and I think it goes back to that flexibility of the website in terms of being able to have these different kind of options available to you in the sort of destination, so where you send your traffic, your website, your landing pages, and those kind of things. That flexibility and being able to make those changes is one of the most important things.
Absolutely. And you can test, kind of split test traffic, can't you, in sort of with Google Ads, you can run. I mean, if we keep on the self-employed mortgages as an example, obviously you can do this for whatever you want. You can send 50% of your advertising traffic to one page and 50% to the other. And if you're tracking your conversions, if you've got phone call tracking on there, we've had an episode on phone call tracking. If you don't know what that means, just very quickly, is if someone lands on your page, it will show a different phone number. It will still ring your number, but you'll be able to record that phone call came from a Google ad, if that makes sense. So you could see whether one version, your layout of version A and layout of version B, one could drive loads more phone calls. And if your phone calls turn into business, not just from an inquiry, into written business better, then you know that version A, even if the cost per lead is higher, your cost per acquisition is lower. So it's like that version A is the right version for you for your ads. Did I make sense there?
Yeah, that's right. In terms of, so it's basically, it's going down, it's we are trying as best we can work everything back to the cost per acquisition. I say this isn't sort of specific to what we're sort of talking about today, but we're not necessarily afraid of slightly more expensive leads if they're going to be better quality. And most of the people say that in terms of, or most people we work with say the same. Mm. They'd rather have a lead that's double the cost, but the contact rate is double, and then everything that goes into dips, written business, everything else like that. We have plenty of people that aren't afraid of expensive leads, provided the quality's right. I think if you always focus too much on getting the cheapest leads, you're not running the campaigns most effectively because the cheapest leads aren't always the best ones that go to business. The reason they're cheap is probably because other people don't want them.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly. It is because they're done on keywords that, you know, aren't as attractive for whatever reason. That's not to say they won't necessarily be attractive to you. An example I always use on that is something like self-build. A lot of the people we work with have no interest in self-build mortgages. Mm. But for those that do, in terms of, yeah, we have a few quite nice little campaigns that run. But it's always working it back to that kind of the cost per acquisition. Cost of written business rather than focusing on that cost per lead. You know, we always want our lead cost to be as low as possible because then we get more for our budget. But we don't really necessarily want that to come at the dispense of quality. And that's why it's important to monitor it all the way through. But yeah, in terms of that split test side, anyone can do it. It's called done through Google Optimize is the platform it's done on. There's a little bit of setting up in terms of just linking it to your analytics account and your Google Ads account and making sure that, you know, the right toggles are switched. But it's fairly self-explanatory. Got to add a bit of code to your website. Again, but it's all pretty sort of straightforward stuff. So yeah, that's all sort of fairly straightforward. That's called Google Optimize. You can do your traffic at 50-50. You could have three landing pages. You could make it for your paid traffic only, or, you know, any visitor that comes to it doesn't have to be paid only. Mm. So yeah, there are tons of different options you can do with it. And yeah, so Google Optimize is pretty good. It tells you which is the best from your conversion rate, but it also looks at like the behavioral numbers and things like that. And even if you haven't had any conversions yet, based on the behavior, it gives you kind of like an indicator on what is going to be the best performer. So yeah, that's really good. Definitely recommend getting it set up before you run your paid traffic, even if you're not going to split your traffic to start with, but getting it set up so it's ready is something that's worthwhile and saying it's fairly sort of straightforward. There's just a few little hoops to jump through.
Absolutely. So I think when you're just kind of bringing it back to the things to think about is this may come into account in terms of what platform you use to create your website. Like, is it one where you can edit yourself? In terms of if you take WordPress as a platform example, there's a million different ways to skin a cat. We're having to do like a rebuild project for one of our sort of bigger clients because of the way their original developer built the website. And in fact, we don't actually take on clients anymore if we've not built the website because it's just such a faff the way people build them in different ways. Like, it's so, we're having to do this rebuild because the way it's set up, their marketing team can't edit anything. Or edit the bits they really need to. Like, structurally, it was too rigid, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's a common thing we get in terms of we sort of say, oh, you know, we do tend to have to build the site, and that sort of goes back to that thing when people get their own site built and then come to us. Mm. We're always like, oh, well, we really need to build the site, and you know, I think we've maybe said before, I don't think we've ever had a really kind of like successful campaign or client really where we haven't built their own site. We've tried it when we used to try it with other people's sites, and it just never worked as well. Mm. Because, and then we can't really be sort of completely accountable for it because we didn't sort of build the website. But because a common thing is that people sort of say, oh yeah, but it's WordPress. And it's kind of, and I get why they'd say that, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are so many different ways you can configure a WordPress website. Mm. I mean, we know the ones that we build, but someone else couldn't come to us, like that other client that you mentioned. It's a WordPress website, but it's pretty difficult for us to make any sort of changes. It has to go to, a proper WordPress developer to get these changes made. It's not really user friendly for people that are kind of, you know, reasonably aware of how to make these changes. Like me, I'm no developer, but I can do quite a lot of sort of changes on WordPress, fairly sort of simple stuff, but some of them just aren't set up for it. I mean, I've seen some really horrendous ones in the past where, you know, it's making use of kind of like widgets and templates fields, they're called. Yeah. And it's just impossible to manage. I don't know why you would ever set up a website like that. Mm. Even in kind of, we are sort of talking even like 10 years ago when there were better options available. It's bizarre, but yeah. So in terms of having a website set up so you can make those changes, or it's easy for somebody to make those changes, is really important for PPC. Because as we've always sort of say, the 50% of it is getting the traffic to the site, getting the right keywords and everything else like that. But the other half of it really is making sure your website's set up to turn that traffic into leads.
Yeah. And then arguably, like, you get the right people, but if they're not seeing the right things, or, you know, they're just, like you said, the little things, little changes that can make a massive difference. And all those 0.5% increases are massive. And then that means the more you bring to it, the more profitable it is. It's the bit you've got to get right. So thinking it through and be able to make changes and know what's going on. And just like, I think, even if you spot a typo, if you've got to go to a developer to get that done, it's not, you know, things like typos and text, you should be able to just go in and do yourself, really.
Oh, 100%. Because it is dead easy. Like, in terms of, if you know how to use Microsoft Word, you know how to change the wording on a website. And that is it. And that is one of the most important things. You funny, you say kind of like the text, even if it's like, in terms of, as soon as someone hits your site, what's the first five words they're going to see? in terms of, you may want to play around with that. Yeah. In terms of depending on what it is to improve your conversion rate and the like. So very, very sort of important to be able to have that flexibility yourself to make those changes. Or if you are employing someone else to do it, that they are in a position to make those changes quickly. Otherwise, you'll always be waiting to run your ads or always waiting to make changes, and you'll never really get kind of any sort of momentum going with it. In terms of that data going through, the momentum with ads is actually sort of quite important. So if you've just not got that kind of sort of, you know, flow going, if it's always stop start because you need to make a change to this, change to that, stop it for 3 days for this change, stop it 4 days for that, you know, in terms of next thing you know, 3 or 4 weeks have gone and your ads have maybe only ran for about a week because you're constantly waiting for a change to your site. So being able to control that yourself is quite important. And then there's also, for in a lot of instances, there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to make some, you know, a reasonable amount of changes yourself. To be fair, in terms of templates are fairly sort of malleable nowadays on websites, and so changing the content should be easy. So I think that's pretty important to be considering. Absolutely. When you're getting your website done.
We've taught mortgage brokers that have never done any marketing before, never edited a website before. So basically we give them the template, put it in their colors, and they've got to, and we'll put some of the content in, and we've taught them how to do it, and it's easy. You know, so if you've had a website before, like Squarespace or something where it's like that visual drag and drop, you can have that in WordPress with a page builder, something like Elementor, like what we use, you know, is pretty easy. Another thing I was going to pick up is maybe just check if you use a CRM system that you have got the ability to put your leads into your CRM system fairly easily. We use so-called Zapier, Z-A-P-I-E-R, which pretty much connects anything to anything. So maybe just check how your leads are going to go into your CRM, or how they're going to get to you, whether it's via email or whether you're going to get, you know, how you're going to be notified, and that is done very quickly. You know, if you're spending money generating leads, you want to just get them immediately. So just like looking into that as well, I think it's pretty important.
Yeah, agreed. And as I say, in terms of some people, in terms of what CRM they use, obviously it's important that it's easy to use and it's fairly straightforward and things like that. But for a lot, if you're sort of not too bothered, you just want something that works, it is worth just checking that it does. It is easy to link to your website. Like you say, that Zapier or Zapier is fantastic in terms of, because it just links apps together, like CRMs, websites, ads, analytics, all, you know, Google Sheets, links everything together. And it is just kind of like if statements, if something happens with this, then something else happens with the CRM system. Yeah. And it is, you know, in terms of, you just got to go through the process and do it, but it's pretty straightforward to do. I say you don't need any kind of like, you know, expert coding or anything like that. And usually, to be fair, the most, we find probably some of the best CRMs, unless you need something really technical, the best CRMs do tend to be kind of the bigger ones because they're invested in the, you know, the user experience of it. And they do tend to connect with most things as well. So yeah, in terms of it is, but you are right. It's something to consider because it can save you a bit of time double keying leads in.
Yeah, absolutely. I think some CRMs will have a form that you can embed on your website. So the CRM itself gives you a form. One thing I would say is, like, one of my biggest bugbears is when you want to have your website form work with your CRM, not the user. So when you ask for like first name, you ask for last name, you ask for like title, it's like, no, just name. You can ask their last name and their salutation on the call. Like,
don't, that's right. Like, people want the lead to fit the CRM. Is that all?
Yeah, rather than the make it easy for the person. So if you are going to use that, and then just work around, it should be awkward for you, not for the user.
Yeah, 100%.
And then you get, if you, that data is so important, like, you, I only need to know it's Tom that, you know, if you're something, I just need to know it's Tom. I'm not going to say, hi, Mr. Mapplethorpe. I'm just going to say, you know, it's just, you know, hi. Or if you want to be called that, you'd put that on the inquiry as your name. So
it's almost like, would you like 10 Toms or 2 Tom Mapplethorpes?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is almost where it's like, what's the value to you? Do you know what I mean? It's kind of, it's just sort of thinking that through. We get it a lot. And to be fair, we don't think it sort of harms our conversion rates too much, but a lot of people ask for postcodes in terms of, oh, can we put a postcode form on there? It's like, I get why, if they want to sort of place it with a local advisor before they've sort of put it. But then it's almost, I suppose it's each business's model. Do you know what I mean? In terms of what's the value of placing that person with a local advisor? Has the person asked for a local advisor? In some instances, we set that up on the form.
Yeah, so someone can ask for a local,
if they value that, then okay, that's sort of fair enough. But again, if you can eke out an extra 0.2% on your conversion rate without having it, does that make more sense? So yeah, no, there's lots of different things like that.
Absolutely. And some people might want to know if they can embed calculators and things mm-hmm. like that on it, where I'd say pretty much any website you can put a calculator on it, but it's just kind of like, do you want to, because are you attracting the right sort of person? So I guess mm-hmm. from a PPC perspective, your website wants to attract the right sort of person. If you are a call center setup and you need thousands of leads and you're happy with converting 2% of that 1,000, that's your mm-hmm. business model, then yeah, calculators attract the rate mm-hmm. hunters and all that. If you're a small to medium-sized brokerage where quality is everything, then do you want to attract the rate hunter or do you want to attract the people that want advice? And then thinking about, that's the type of person I want, that's the sort of content that I want to put on that page to convert that sort of person into business, especially if it's costing me X amount for every click if I'm running PPC, right?
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, I was going to say, in terms of it's, I say, don't want to get stretched too much, but in terms of people do get seduced by cheap clicks on PPC, and mortgage rates is always one of the cheapest clicks in terms of 50p a click, something like that. And people think, oh yeah, no, they're interested in the mortgage.
Yeah, they're looking
we don't
at
have to
rates.
Convert them at the same rate, but they just don't convert at all. You know, in terms of it's sort of, you know, okay, 50p, but if it converts at 0%, then...
And, yeah, it's expensive.
It's pretty expensive. Yeah. I suppose something that maybe costs £2, £3, £4 a click converts at 5%, 7%, 10%, 15%. Yeah, makes
But if you've got an online journey, if you've got a thing where they can select that rate and do their whole mortgage online without speaking to someone, then that's potentially right for you. But if you're a brokerage where you want to speak, give advice, you want to have that one-to-one sort of consultation, it's like tailor your website to that type of person.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, to be fair, different sort of kettle of fish. That, let's say, if you do have more of that kind of online journey, then it's there. I think the difficulty sometimes with online journeys is that with some things, people are always used to the best online journey they've had. And I always think of things like almost like life insurance. Part of what's really difficult about doing life insurance for things like PPC, I mean, one is the cost. It's horrendously expensive. But two, people are used to getting life insurance online without having to speak to anybody. So trying to get someone for life insurance advice, there are people that will need it, and will be looking for it, true enough. But the majority of them just want to sort of like go through and just click a few buttons and get it without speaking to somebody in their own time.
Just get a quote, yeah.
And that's sometimes the challenge you find with remortgages. It's kind of that instance of, well, you know, I'm just looking for a better rate than the one I'm on now. I don't need to speak to anyone about it.
Yeah.
So it's that online thing. And there's also, you think about it with things like, you know, personal loans or even loans through your bank or whatever it is. You can get a personal loan without speaking to anybody. People get, even though that's not relevant for a mortgage and you should get advice on your mortgage, people have that kind of perception in their mind of the online journey they're expecting to see, which, yeah, is something you're always coming up against. And it's sort of as technology moves on, you sort of need to see how it goes. It's like people are, you know, in terms of, you always sort of hear a little bit about things like robo advice in terms of, you know, and the sort of things around that in terms of the bit, a little bit controversial and whatever. But yeah, it's always there as a sort of, well, I don't know if threat's the right word. Some may call it an opportunity, but it's, yeah, something sort of be considered for the future.
Okay. Fantastic. Well, I think that was the kind of the main area we wanted to cover, and then just to hope people understand that flexibility is like, you don't want to create a website set in stone because you are going to need to mold it, move it around, change it if this website is to drive leads for your business, because you don't want to be spending more money than you have to, because you're effectively wasting money by spending money on ads. If all you need to do is increase your conversion rate, if you double your conversion rate, double the amount of leads, you can halve your spend. You know, and there are things that can be done. Like we said earlier, small changes can have a big impact, and you just really want to be able to do that. So, you know, the higher your budget, the more important this will be. And then you don't want to have to scrap a website and build another one because the existing one wasn't flexible enough. That's 100%. The biggest issue. Cool. All right. Thanks, my man. Thank you. We're going to get you back on soon because we didn't do our business superhero series episode.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
So we're going to be doing that soon and getting you in there. And then we'll certainly get you back to talk more stuff in the future as well.
Sounds good.
My man, thank you very much. I'll speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye.